Dr. Judith Orloff. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you again. Your latest book, The Empath's Survival Guide, Life Strategies for Sensitive People. First of all, welcome to the show. Like I said, I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be on your show.
And congratulations on the book, The Empath's Survival Guide. First of all, I guess for listeners that maybe don't understand or maybe aren't familiar with that, what is an empath?
An empath is somebody who is very sensitive and intuitive and open and caring, but they don't have the same kind of filters that other people have, not the same kind of guards. So they tend to absorb emotions, physical symptoms, or energy from other people. And the downside is you can get exhausted or feel ill or develop a host of mystery symptoms unless you have strategies to really support your intuitive gifts and empathic gifts and also learn to protect yourself and center yourself from unwanted influences and energy.
And how is this different than just having ordinary empathy?
Well, empathy is when your heart goes out to somebody and you feel something for them. You know, if they've, had a bad day or they've broken up with their spouse or whatever they go through, you feel for them. But an empath not only feels for them, they take on that feeling into their own body. They take on the grief. They take on the exhaustion into their own body and suffer from it.
And sometimes empaths suffer from labels too, which not realizing they're an empath, but we, the outside, maybe look at them as being shy, introverted, or maybe overly sensitive and maybe being told we need to develop thick skin. I think if maybe we hear that a lot, maybe that's something that helps us identify what it is we're experiencing that maybe outsiders aren't understanding.
Exactly. Well, I'm a psychiatrist in Los Angeles. I'm also an empath. And so that's why I was inspired to write this book, because so many patients come to me labeled and with anxiety disorder, agoraphobia, major depressions, the whole gamut. And they're not diagnosed as empaths. And when you're an empath, you probably shouldn't go on medication in the beginning. The treatment is not medication. It's the strategies I talk about in this book on how to protect your energy. And so I feel really strongly that empaths need to be empowered. It's a gift. I mean, we need empathy in our world now more than ever. And you don't need to develop a, quote, thicker skin. You just need to develop a stronger center so you don't absorb from other people.
And what does that mean, develop a stronger center?
Well, that means if you're absorbing energy from other people, or let's say you're standing next to somebody, an energy vampire. There's a chapter on energy vampires in the book.
I love that term.
Yeah, I know. But for empath knows that so, powerfully, because you stand next to somebody who is, you may seem perfectly nice, but suddenly your energy goes down, your eyelids get heavy, you feel like taking a nap. And suddenly you feel toxic or angry, or depressed. So you're taking that on. But when you learn to protect yourself and have a stronger center, it bounces off of you. For instance, if you practice a shielding technique, which is visualizing a shield of light all around your body that bounces off all that negativity, it just doesn't come in. And then there's a 3-minute meditation I suggest that I practice throughout my day, where you take 3 minutes to slow down your breath, slow down your heart rate, and bring your energy back to yourself by focusing on your heart and something loving. Picture a beautiful image, a sunset, a flower, a butterfly, whatever it is you love, and spend 3 minutes slowing down your breathing and focusing on that loving kindness. And that will bring you back to center, so that all that other stuff that you've absorbed will just float away.
Is there a way to do that, I guess for lack of a better term, kind of like on the fly, on the spot, when, you're entering into a situation with people maybe you don't know and you're realizing this one's really sucking the life out of me? Is there a way to do it right then and there, if you can kind of catch it?
Well, first of all, you have to start on the fly. That's the best way to do it. You have to start breathing. Yes, breathing purifies your body. And so it breathes out stress. It breathes out negative energy. So don't hold your breath, because people hold their breath when they're afraid or when they feel attacked in some way. But you don't want to do that. You want to keep breathing. And you can also excuse yourself and go to the bathroom, which I do all the time. if I'm feeling drained from people, I say, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. And then I sit on the fly and do the 3-minute meditation to come back to my center. And it literally feels like, you know, anything I've picked up, if I've picked up anger or exhaustion or whatever, if someone is in victim mode and they're starting to drain me with their nonstop stories about, you know, what isn't working in their life without offering a solution, I, through my breathing, centering, and shielding, it goes in and out so it doesn't stay stuck. But I also want to say that part of the protection strategies for empaths is learning how to set really clear limits and boundaries with people. Because empaths are such giving people, they'll listen way too long, and they'll suffer as a result. So if you can set limits and boundaries with people who are draining you, that will help your energy tremendously.
And what about relationships? Because I know that there are personalities out there, maybe that's the narcissist, that kind of hone in on empaths.
Yeah, exactly. There's a section in the book, The Empath Survival Guide, on the toxic attraction between narcissists and empaths. And empaths who are so loving and giving, you know, are, you know, just something the narcissist loves, because the narcissist is self-absorbed. It's all about them. And they could be charming and wonderful and smart until you go against their program, you know, whatever it is. And then they become cold, withholding, punishing. And the empath doesn't see that coming, because they get taken in by the charm and the seeming empathy in the beginning. But then they become cold, withholding, and punishing. And narcissists have what's called an empathy deficient disorder, meaning they don't really have the same capacity for empathy that we have. So there's a spectrum that I talk about in the book. The low point of the empathic spectrum is a narcissist, meaning zero. The middle is, you know, a lot of people who are loving people and their heart goes out, but they don't absorb. Then there's the highly sensitive person who tends to have enhanced sensitivities to light, sound, smell, external stimulation. And then the empath, who is a highly sensitive person plus, where they are sensitive to external stimuli and tend to get on overload, but then they absorb. So we have the narcissist on the bottom, zero, and the empaths on the top, which is 200% plus empathy.
And there is, what's really interesting too, is there's neuroscience findings that support this. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, in the book I have a section on the neuroscience findings of empaths and empathy, and it's really fascinating because it's believed that the mirror neuron system in the brain, which are responsible for compassion, they get ignited when you feel compassion, that neuron system is hyperactive in empaths, where their mirror neurons work overtime, whereas with narcissists, they have hypoactive mirror neuron systems responsible for compassion. So that's one explanation. Another is emotional contagion. It's been proven over and over again by research that if you have an emotion such as anxiety in the workplace, and that anxiety can spread like wildfire to everybody, because emotions can be spread, as can positive emotions. When someone has joy or gratitude, that spreads also over a group of people. And so empaths are extremely sensitive to emotional contagion. So if there's some emotion going around in an environment, it's like a virus, you know, if it's a negative emotion, then the empaths will pick it up and suffer from it. So that's another scientific explanation. And then, you know, it's also thought another reason that empaths are so sensitive is they could pick up the electromagnetic communications from the body, what comes out from the heart. The electromagnetic field from the heart and brain convey information that empaths are intuitively sensitive to. So those are just a few of the scientific explanations that are so fascinating that explain empaths and empathy.
Well, and I think, too, that we need to understand, for those of us that are empaths or that we consider ourselves sensitive, is that it's not to be confused with being weak.
No.
And I think that comes up a lot.
What a great point. No, it's not to be confused with being weak. However, empaths without the strategies I present in the book can get weak. and they could become sick, and they could become depressed and anxious, because the world is very overstimulating, and if you're an empath who doesn't have any defenses, then it could beat you down. You know, everything that happens politically, socially, and in our personal lives, if you don't have strategies to say, no, I'm not going to absorb that energy, it can beat you down. It doesn't mean you are weak. It means you don't have the strategies to be an empowered empath, which is exactly why I wrote this book.
Setting limits and boundaries, that's a challenge. We always, well, some of us are concerned with how the other person feels.
Right.
We don't want to cut them off. We want to be there for them. But at some point, we do need to set those limits and boundaries. How do we do that?
Well, one thing is to learn that no is a complete sentence.
It's true.
You don't have to explain it. Just, you know, no, I'm sorry I can't make it tonight because I feel too tired. No, I'm sorry. You know, I just want to meditate. I don't want to go to a party. So empaths, I just want to say, love alone time. And so they have to learn to set limits and boundaries on protecting that alone time in their relationships, with their friends. And empaths, as compared to extroverts, don't replenish out in the world. They don't replenish around lots of other people. They replenish on their own time, in their own quiet, positive bubble. And so as an empath myself, that's a challenge I've had in relationships, as I'm living with somebody now. And, you know, I've had to really set clear limits and boundaries with him in terms of how much alone time I need. And thankfully, he's really understanding. But in romantic relationships, and in all relationships, you need to learn to say, you know, I need to go off into my own space now. And the other person has to understand that. And if you're an empath, your good friends will understand that. And another limit and boundary I've had to set is that empaths often love to take their own car places so they can leave when they please, and they're not stuck anywhere. And so with my friends, I always tell them that I either take my own car, because my limit is usually 2 hours socializing as an empath, because after that, I'm done. I'm full. I want to go home. And so my friends know that, and I either take my own car, or if I go with them, they'll leave with me. But they know that up front, so they're used to me. But that's a creative conversation that you can have with friends and family, but they're not usual conversations. So it takes time to educate your loved ones who may or may not understand. And empaths always want to please others. They're people pleasers. They don't want to hurt others. They don't want to interrupt. But, you know, with one of the energy vampires I talk about in the book, the chronic talker, you know, who can really drain an empath, they corner you somewhere and tell you their life story, and an hour later you're feeling like a limp noodle and they're all energized, you have to interrupt. And I know it's hard for empaths, but you have to say, excuse me, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I've got to go on to the next person at this party. Thank you for sharing what you did with me. Or I just have to go to the bathroom. I'm so sorry, I got to leave. I have to go to the bathroom. So it's hard for empaths to do that, but it's necessary to protect their energy. Otherwise, they're going to be drained everywhere they go, because empaths wear an invisible sign saying, I can help you. If empaths are healers, and a lot of them go into the healthcare professions, and so they're just natural-born healers and givers. But you want to learn these protection strategies to protect the giver, so that the giver has, you know, some energy level there and some life. And so the receiver can then receive from a giver that's happy, rather than just so drained, they've given too much.
Well, and I think that's the thing too, is that we realize when we attract certain types of people, and you just said it, we do have this invisible sign that others seem to pick up on. And so I think what I took away from the book is it gave me a lot of insight into some of my own traits in the way I interact with people, or way people interact with me. and understanding myself a lot better and doing that protection, because there are times where I'll walk away from something and say, wow, I need to go take a shower.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just need to step away. Nature seems to help quite a bit too, just kind of getting away and getting recentered and regrounded. Who is this book for? How do you know if you need this book?
You need this book if you're a sensitive person in the world who wants to stay strong and empowered and not drained by the constant stress that we're being inundated with everywhere we go. And so it's for everyone with an open heart who wants to keep that heart open and not just close down. It's for everyone who's tired and exhausted and doesn't know how not to take on the stress of the world. And it's for everyone who believes in love and empathy and really wants to stand firm about your beliefs, about being that kind of person, at the same time learning how to protect yourself in healthy ways so you can really be those shining role models for others. So it's really for everyone who wants to keep their heart open and not get exhausted.
Dr. Orloff, what does this work mean to you?
Well, this is my life's work. And so it's about really how to save the world through love and empathy and compassion, and how to protect the givers, you know, and how to give the givers the tools so that they can have the strength and the power to go out and change the world and not just be exhausted in a room somewhere not wanting to come out. So it's very essential for me, and I feel particularly strongly about it because I was an empathic child, and although my parents really loved me, they didn't understand my empathy, and they told me to get a thicker skin, to buck up, you know, and all of that, which means shut yourself off. There's something wrong with you. And so I want to help others know that there's nothing wrong with you. You are beautiful. You are powerful. You have incredible gifts, but you just have to learn to work with them a little bit so you can maximize your gifts.
Well, I love this work, and I love the opportunity to speak with you. Where can we learn more about you, and where can we find your books?
So you could find it anywhere on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, any bookstore. And my website is drjudithorloff.com. And I'm going to be in Portland on April 18th at New Renaissance Bookshop on 23rd Avenue in Portland at 7:30 on April 18th. So I invite everyone to come to that signing. And it's a talk. It's an open dialogue with everyone talking about empaths and how to increase your sensitivity and increase your protection as well.
Well, again, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you.